11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to your calls here in just a second. 913-586-7965. Frank, we see you on hold. We'll get to you in a couple of minutes. Appreciate you guys interacting with us on a Victory Monday in Kansas City. We're also just under an hour away from hearing from Andy Reid, exclusively on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Trash of the Day, also 15 minutes away. How was the weekend, real quick, Drew, of the dyed hair? So we all know if you listen on Friday, live in studio, we had Downtown Hair Lounge and Casey Moe come in. They gave you a nice cut. They also bleached your hair, gave you the Joe Burrow look. That was part of the bet, which you, again, I appreciate, paid off very, very quickly, Cody. And when it comes to the weekend, I was curious, when your wife's birthday dinner, how many people would say anything, if anybody at all, when it comes to the hairstyle?
Dinner was good. I was unashamed. My wife was still likes the hair. We went to go eat, and as we're eating, the manager of the place comes up and goes, "You look like you lost a bet." And I was like, yes, I did.
So Drew, here's the thing.
They listen to the show and they listen to the station all the time.
So. I know they do. And here's the thing you don't realize, though, is that Cody and I, and all, there's people everywhere. We have people everywhere.
Yeah.
Let me just say that I got a message at 6:40 on Saturday said, "Drew's in my restaurant right now."
Oh,
from Joe.
I said, yes. And I said, "Just tell him his hair looks amazing and he should keep it forever."
Shout out to Joe, man.
I brought it up because I knew multiple people had said something because we told them to. We had people everywhere. I'm glad you guys had a good dinner.
Somebody else came up. It wasn't just him. Somebody else from the restaurant. They were, I believe, a server. Also came up and said something.
Can you pop yourself on camera for just a minute for those asking?
The camera's not working for some reason.
It's not orange. It's not orange, but it's. Here's the issue. He's wearing a bright orange Cincinnati shirt because the Bengals are playing tonight as they try to win a football game.
So it makes it look more orange, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's caused a little bit of that. Let's get your guys' thoughts, not necessarily on Drew's hair, but on what we saw in week three. Let's go out to Frank from Leawood. Frank, you're on Cody and Gold. Good morning.
Hey, I guess that's why you don't bet against Mahomes and the
Chiefs. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a given. Hey, just a couple points here. Nick Bolton probably played his worst game of his career against Baltimore, and then he played a little bit better game against Cincinnati, but he seemed to be back to his form as of last night. He looked really good, so hats off to him to bounce back. That's the thing about this team. You hear all these people on social media talking about, oh, it's the refs, and they get all the calls and all the excuses of why they keep winning or why their teams keep losing, our team keeps winning. It's because players step up. People like Nick Bolton and players like that in the organization continue to step up. They may have a bad game or two. They may have a little bit of a bad stretch, but they always bounce back. That's a testament to the players. That's a testament to the coaching and the organization as a whole and the scouting of bringing a new guy in. Just like we lost Tyrann Mathieu as the rusher, so then they moved it to someone else. Now it's Connor. Now it's somebody else. It's just always in the mix. And this organization seems to be one to four steps ahead of everyone else. Everyone else is playing checkers. The Chiefs are playing chess, and they're just that much better because of the organization, the way they just fill the gaps, and they continue to bring guys in and mix in the roster and the talent that they have. So that's why they win. I don't hear anyone complaining about the three bogus calls on Atlanta's last drive last night. The pass interference of Vic McDuffie was not there.
Right.
Legal hands that was called was not there. There was another flag that wasn't there. They had fourth and inches to seal the game, to score the touchdown in the end, and they choked because that's what they do. So stop blaming the refs and start blaming your organization and the players that you have inside those organizations. It's not the refs. It's your teams that are not up to par with the Chiefs.
There you go, Frank. Frank and Leawood, appreciate the call. No, I'm with you. You don't become a dynasty on accident. To your point, it's of course Mahomes and Andy Reid are a huge part of it. But Brett Veach, like moves that don't seem, we all know last year, don't seem big at the time. Drew Tranquil a year ago. This year, I think 3 weeks in, we've already seen two moves that didn't seem all that big at the time already come through. bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster. We said, hey, don't expect him to have 400 yards and three touchdowns, but we've seen him last night. Wide receiver screens, great blocker, one of the better blocking wide receivers, and he gets a touchdown in the game where they had a perfect kind of pick play, if you will, that was set up to get Juju open. Carson Steele was an undrafted guy that nobody outside of Brett Veach in that front office knew who the hell he was until like June or July.
I think it was like July for me.
You know, and so I'm 100% with you, Frank. Thanks for the call. 913-586-7965. He mentioned the defense. I want to get back to the defense though, Cody, because last year, this was a bottom 7 yards per carry defense in football. That was a weakness for them. So far this year, Derrick Henry in the opener, 3.5 yards per carry. Now, look, Zach Moss is not on the level of Bijan or Derrick Henry, but Zach Moss, 2.8 yards per carry. Then, last night, Robinson, who is still one of the best running backs in football, I would say he's a top five running back in football.
He's certainly one of the most talented.
No doubt. And they've misused him over the first 2 years of his career. This year, I think they'll be fine. He was averaging 1.9 yards per carry. So that's the big shift we're seeing in this defense. I know the tight ends have scared some people in terms of the yardage, even though last night it was one catch. One catch, really, from Kyle Pitts. The run defense is a huge switch from what we saw from a year ago.
I think over the years, we've probably given more credit to the offense for reinventing themselves, right? Like, oh, this year it's going to have to be Pacheco's year with no wide receivers and short passing games. And in 2018, it was, what if we throw the ball 50 yards in the air every single snap? And they've had to go through some reinvention year after year. So's the defense. We just don't notice it as much. And this is the first new one. They have decided that instead of being the league's best passing defense that nobody could ever get a pass off on, apparently they're going to be the league's best run defense this year. And that's how they're going to be a dominant defensive team. They're going to take away they're going to make you one-dimensional by taking away your ability to run. Last year, they made you one-dimensional by taking away your ability to pass. They're doing it differently because of the personnel. Leo Chanel, Bolton, Connor, some of these guys are good run fit stoppers. Turk Wharton's having a great year for that. So they're allowed to put him inside with Chris Jones. That's making the middle almost impossible to run against. They've just transformed, I think, seemingly overnight, but obviously it was an entire offseason's worth, into the best run defense in the league. So far, Derrick Henry, by the way, outside of the Chiefs game, looks like a force. Certainly a force in that Cowboys game last night.
Yeah, Bengals right now, everybody, you want to talk about the polar opposite. That Cowboys defense is the worst run defense in football.
It's the worst defense in football?
Yeah, anybody can run on the Cowboys. It's been pretty clear.
But so, Derrick Henry held down. Cincinnati had no run game to speak of. And then it was fairly obvious based on the number of times they handed it off. The Falcons' entire game plan was we're going to shove it down their throat in the run game. And they got 63 yards on 24 carries between Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. And to go with that, no passes to the backs really either. Bijan 2 for 7. Tyler Allgeier didn't eat him up in that regard. I mean, they held down the entire run game. I think it's now the staple of their defense this year. I'm assuming at the end of the year, if there's one thing we'll know about this defense, it'll be they can stop the damn run, which is the antithesis of what they were the last 2 years, 3 years. They've given up run plays each of the last 2 or 3 years. It didn't seem to matter much, but that's kind of what they did for a while.
I'm trying to think of the running backs that they got coming up. This Sunday, if Justin Herbert plays, I think it'd be a good test because J.K. Dobbins has had a really good start to his season. Now, Gus Edwards has been a non-factor, but Greg Roman's their offensive coordinator in L.A., and we know he's run first. He was in Baltimore for many, many years. And so I think this is another good test. Now, if it's Easton Stick or Taylor Heineke, that changes things because it's even easier to focus on the run when you're not worried about the quarterback necessarily beating you. So maybe it's not going to be as good of a test as we thought. Then in a couple weeks, they get the Saints, who their offense came back down to earth in a big, big way against Philadelphia. But you're dealing with Kamara and then Taysom Hill whenever he's healthy. He didn't play this past week for the Eagles. So, yeah, I think it's really impressive to see what they've done against the run to this point in time. I'll be curious to see if that does keep up. I'm a little skeptical if it will, but with the way the NFL is going 3 weeks in, where teams are running, you know, two high safeties, and the Chiefs do that more than anybody else in football, by the way.
Yep. So don't outlaw it, Mel Kiper, please.
Yeah, the Chiefs are taking advantage of it as well, and so you're just not as concerned this year in the NFL with teams beating you deep down the field. Any team right now. I'm not saying that it can't happen,
it's
but you're not as concerned with that. And so you can focus in on the run a little bit more. And I think that's also what's led to some of that.
But they're still doing it better than other teams, you know?
That's why I brought it up. I mean, for 1.9 yards per carry, Bijan Robinson, how many times this year are we going to see that?
That'll be the worst output he has all season.
I think so.
I'd be stunned if he had a worse output than that. And you're right. J.K. Dobbins a good test this week. Alvin Kamara the week after that. I don't think Christian McCaffrey's scheduled to be back by the time they would have that, or I'd lump that into the mix too. But, you know, they're going to have to kind of go through that. I just kind of like that they have a new identity when it comes to defense, because you're not always going to have the same personnel. Look, in the secondary, it's a guessing game sometimes. Every once in a while, Najee Johnson and whatever, they can't switch because he's still young. Or, you know, I've seen Joshua Williams get beat this year. I've seen Jalen Watson get beat this year. They're going to get beat a little more often out of that second and third cornerback spot because they're not as deep. Now, Trent McDuffie's still a star. The only play, he gave up two plays in the game, gave up one catch to Mooney, and then he got called for pass interference on a play where all the contact was initiated by Ray McCloud. So, like, he's still locked down, so they can shut down the one half of the field, but still, it's there.
913-586-7965. You brought up the calls again. Let's go back out to the phone line. John and OP wants to talk about the Chiefs, I guess, getting the advantage from the refs. What's going on, John? You're on Cody and Gold.
Yes, the Chiefs always get the advantage. I'm going to tell you this right now.
Okay.
You guys win a three-peat, you're not winning the four. Rice is getting suspended probably the whole year next year.
Okay.
Kelsey's cooked. He really is. He's too much in love with Taylor. She needs him to go away. I'm just sick of the Chiefs getting every call. It's just ridiculous.
Who's the team you root for? I'm curious now. I'll let you finish. Sorry, John. Who's the team you root for?
The team I root for? I root for the Bills.
Okay. Okay. Bills. Makes more sense. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's going to be a test when, you know, they go to Buffalo. I think Buffalo is actually going to beat them because the refs are not going to be on the Chiefs' favor. I mean, that's just what I think, you know.
Hey. Okay.
But I wish you guys luck. I think you guys are probably going to get the three-peat, but I don't think you're getting the four.
Okay. But all right, John.
I'll be honest with John. That's the worst insult of all time.
What? Look, John.
You're probably going to get the three-peat, but you're not going to get the four.
I appreciate you listening. You're a Bills fan, so and I like Bills fans, but it makes more sense. Like, but to say, like, you'll get the three-peat, but we're not letting you get a fourth, I mean, that's, you know.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess.
I appreciate the call. 913-586-7965.
Look, we've talked about this. I'm not pretending like the Chiefs never get calls.
Of course
they get calls, just like anyone else.
I mean, and also, I actually don't disagree. I think there's a good chance the Bills in Buffalo in November beat the Chiefs. We've seen that before, right, in terms of not in Buffalo, but we've seen that in regular season games. I don't doubt that regular season game is going to be, once again, the Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills. Can they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? And the answer so far has been no.
But I once again will not let a factual inaccuracy work against it. Because when they're talking about calls, they're obviously talking about roughing. Chiefs get more calls than anybody. They get there. It's just a reminder, since 2009, they've been keeping track of the number of roughing the passer calls that have gone against each quarterback. Now, some of these guys have played longer, so certainly had a better opportunity to get them. But do you know who's had more roughing the passer calls called against them? Or called for them, even though they've been in the league a year less? Josh Allen, who has 34 such calls go against him versus Patrick Mahomes, who has 27. I get it. I get it, John. You're probably tired of the Chiefs, and I don't blame you for that. But, I mean, that game last night was just poorly officiated. I didn't feel like it went one way versus the other.
Yeah, we already talked about officials earlier in the show, and I think we both acknowledged that, yeah, probably should have been a PI call, but then there were makeup calls on the next drive. And the Chiefs make teams pay when there is a slight loophole, if you will, right? If there's that one missed call, the Chiefs pounce on you. Other teams do not do that. But, yes, look. If you tell me the Chiefs are going to three-peat, but you're guaranteeing they don't, I mean, that's going out there.
I'll take it, by the way. If you want to make that trade-off right now, I'll take it. Bills can win the Super Bowl next year.
Come on, John. Bills fan John. You're welcome to call in anytime.
Have some faith in your team this year, John. That's all.
Call us up call us back in November, please, the week of that game. That's when I want to hear from you again, John.
I will say, John better be careful. The Bills play tonight against the Jags, and the Bills are 2-0. The Jags are 0-2. Everything points to, of course, the Bills should win this game. They're the better team. They're playing better. Did the NFL not teach you anything yesterday, John? Yesterday in the NFL, an 0-2 team went and kicked the Texans' ass. The 49ers blew a massive lead against the Rams. The Bucs were 2-0 against a Broncos team that had looked miserable for two straight weeks. and loss. And Andy Dalton is now the only quarterback in the NFL this season with a 300-yard, three-touchdown day. If you pretend like you know how these two games are going to go tonight,
that's what's,
you're lying to yourself. The NFL, anyone can win in the NFL.
This is why the NFL is the best, though, because just when you think you have it figured out, and boy, oh boy, nobody has it figured out 3 weeks into this season. It's why it's been so difficult for those of you that play survivor pools and why you're talking about 80% of these survivor pools are already chopped 3 weeks into the season because it is so unpredictable. But you're right. The rest of the NFL, you mentioned the Texans, who are a 2-0 team. They got their ass kicked. You mentioned the 49ers have lost a couple in a row. The Bucs getting worked by Bo Nix, who looked great against Tampa. And yet the Chiefs are able to avoid that loss in which they don't play great. You know, I think it was Kling actually on the broadcast last night here on 96.5 The Fan mentioning like, hey, it's been a weird day in the NFL. Let's make sure that the weird doesn't happen to the Chiefs as well.
But it almost did.
And the Chiefs have usually avoided that result. It's one of those weird psychology things where you're like, did it help the Chiefs that all this stuff happened before them? And so they had, you know, their full attention. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is the Falcons were calling last night's game the biggest game in that stadium's history.
Were they really?
Chief, that's not, yes.
That was a report from a national reporter. Adam Schefter sent out, some executives or some people in the Falcons organization viewed this as one of the biggest games in their history because Blank was getting inducted, and Kirk Cousins against Mahomes.
T.I. was performing.
They were like, Jackson was there. Yeah. T.I. is performing. All of
they
that.
They were like stacking up a bunch of
free
stuff.
Free hot dogs, free sodas, all that. Yeah, it was their biggest game in that stadium's history, and they kind of were promoting it as that as well. And yet, the Chiefs once again spoiled the party. The week before, we talked about Cincinnati. L.A., if they would have been undefeated, if the Chargers would have won and been 3-0, I'm sure the Chargers would be talking like this is their opportunity to send a message that they're a factor in the divisional race. Well, they just lost to Pittsburgh and their quarterback's hurt now.
For a game that meant a lot, the crowd stunk. The crowd weren't loud. It didn't.
A lot of Chiefs fans down there again.
It didn't sound like a game that was
home of the Chiefs. For those that were there, they say home of the Chiefs, you could hear it.
Yeah.
What was the biggest surprise for you yesterday? Was it Andy Dalton?
So
one is not the biggest surprise. It's actually the Broncos for me. I can't believe they worked the Bucs over like
that. So I'm with you. The reason why I can actually say it wasn't the biggest surprise, I got nervous about the Raiders in their performance against the Panthers. Like at 11:30 yesterday. Now, it still didn't matter because I switched my survivor pick, one of my two entries,
to a different loser.
Cleveland. So I only have one entry left. But I got the feeling that Andy Dalton was going to actually win that game because I took the Raiders out of my survivor pick at 11:30 yesterday.
Wow, so
that's a real
minutes.
Thing that happened. It still didn't matter. But I'm with you. Bo Nix, he looked like a vet out there. And the Bucs, remember, had just gone to Detroit and won. So that was way more surprising than the Raiders being the Raiders.
Yeah. That one surprised me.
That was one of the things where it was perfect timing, Gold, where it's like, yeah, all the bad stuff's happening. But let's bring in the vet, rally the team up together a little bit. Always one of those games you don't want to be playing that team.
It's also just in 5 years of Patrick Mahomes, I've only watched them get their ass beat the way the Texans did yesterday, like twice. Twice in 5 years.
That game
is all.
Not close.
And they got worked over by Minnesota. It wasn't that Minnesota won. I was actually on Fox 4 for their Sunday show.
Yeah.
And they make us do an upset pick for the final segment. And I said, watch Minnesota.
There you go.
I said, that was the one I like. I think people sleep on them and I think they'll be competitive in this game. I didn't think they'd dog walk them.
Kevin O'Connell, once again, proved he's one of the bright young offensive minds in the league. He's doing this with Sam Darnold. I haven't looked at the updated odds. A week ago, you still could have got him at like 7-1 to win Coach of the Year.
Not anymore.
My guess is he's the favorite. I haven't looked. My guess is Kevin O'Connell's. Mike McDonald, the Seahawks, is the other one to keep an eye
They're
on.
Also undefeated,
also haven't played anybody. Have you seen Seattle's schedule?
Yeah.
They have played the Patriots. They won in overtime. They just played
the Broncos, I believe. They played
the Broncos in week one, and then they just played, yesterday. Who the hell did they just play?
I can't think of it either.
They faced the, unfortunately, lifeless Miami Dolphins.
There you go, with Skylar Thompson.
The only team that has never led for a single second.
Then Tim Boyle was quarterback for the Dolphins at one point.
Brian Flores also, the DC, that Vikings defense was inconsistent as all get out last year, and they are lights out.
They lost Daniil Hunter, and they're playing great.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
Well, I alluded to this earlier. There's only one choice for the trash of the day. That would be
other choices.
Your hot dog derby performance again. Uh-huh. They somehow let you get a fourth run at the hot dog derby. And sources on the ground told me it wasn't even close.
Okay.
You are 0-4.
Okay.
0-4 in the Derby. That's the trash today. You're taking spots from lifelong Royals fans that want to live out their dream in the Derby. You've gotten four cracks at it, and you're 0-4. It's time to give it up.
I don't care who I'm taking the spots from. Get in the race. You find a way to get in the race, and then you can have your chance to win. Second, I'm just going to be honest with you. Rigged! It's a rigged race! Mm-hmm. I had to go against Matt Beisler, a former U.S. men's national team member. That's a running sport.
A lot of excuses
Matt
already.
Matt Beisler raced in this one other time in his life against other professional soccer players, and he won that one, too. It was a rigged race. I had no chance to win. Now, the other ones I've lost fair and square. This one, this is a joke. I had no chance. Barring Matt Beisler not making it to the game, breaking his ankle on the way in, tripping and falling on his face, there was no amount
I think
of
this
prep, training,
did you see the video
prayer
I
could
see
have done,
oh, I saw
in which
the
I could have caught Matt Beisler. Impossible.
So this argument, I think people would have more sympathy for your, I was going up against a former professional athlete that played on the U.S. men's national team as well. Or I think we would hear you more if you didn't lose.
Okay, so.
Hold on. If you didn't lose to me, unathletic radio host, I beat you in the Derby.
Put it back Nate in the race. Put yourself back in the race.
I don't need to do that. I already won, my man. Nate
you're
Taylor.
Afraid.
No, I don't.
You're
need to,
afraid to lose.
You don't get to do this when you're 0-4.
I do get to do it.
No,
you're afraid to race again.
You are 0-4. You don't get an opportunity to go up against me. Floyd Mayweather gives you one crack to get him. You didn't get him. You don't get to just
you're
keep
calling yourself Floyd Mayweather?
Nate Taylor in
now,
this example. Or
this
me.
Is nuts.
Either way.
Now
just,
we've gone
just,
too far.
Just as nuts as you being 0-4 and claiming that you deserve a rematch for anybody. You're going to be 0-10 if they let you race six more times.
I might, but I'm not going to quit.
You're done.
I'll just let you know
you're
now.
You're done.
Unless they ban me from this race, I will keep racing.
That might be the argument.
Unless they
to
tell
have
me
it happen,
I can't.
Is how bad
do
can
it? Anymore.
How bad can it get for Cody?
I'll
it's
race
not,
every time they tell me I'm in it until I either win.
The only person
or
that wants that is you,
for
though.
The rest of my life.
That's fine. A selfish act is what that is.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I'm not. I don't think I would deny that on this end. I do think it qualifies.
It's going to turn from a selfish act into. You know what? How many times can this guy lose? How many times is it going to happen?
No, Hiles is going to be in the next one. He could run backwards and beat me. Are you kidding me?
I thought maybe you would finish second at least.
Okay,
so I will admit.
So here's the thing. I gave up at the end. Like I slowed up. Unfortunately for me. No, I'm not making an excuse. I finished.
It looked like it.
I let up.
It
because
like
the second
did.
The frustration set in right about, like, I was hustling. I was trying to move. I was, you know, I was trying to see how close I could keep with Beisler. I knew I wasn't going to win. But I was trying to see how close. And then he started, like, Beisler hit another gear. Beisler found another gear. And I was like, son of a bitch. Like, I'm just, this thing's not even going to be close. And so, like, he put it in another gear. And I just, like, I quit on Team Mustard there for a minute.
Jeez.
Right towards the end, where I just knew it was over, and I was frustrated that I couldn't even keep it close with
this,
the man.
We just mentioned the NFL's unpredictable. I'm serious because there's audio of this. Nothing was more predictable in recent sports history than you losing this race.
Who's the worst team in baseball? I'm the Chicago White Sox of this race.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's essentially my current record in this thing. But if they put
were
me back in the
booze?
Race, I'll race
were there
again.
Any boos in the crowd? Did you hear any?
No boos.
Okay.
No boos. I did lose my glasses on the field. Now we have
people
that
are
tweeted that.
Offering to race.
People want to race.
Fine.
Here's what we need to do. We need
let listeners race against me next year.
I think it needs to be 50 plus year olds.
50 plus.
That way you can lose to 50 plus.
That's fine.
Oh my gosh.
But you couldn't have run track in high school. Okay.
They're 50 now. Come on, man.
Beasley still got it, by the way. Still pretty fast.
I was hoping you at least get second. Now you're embarrassing the show. You know, you're kind of embarrassing the show at this point.
Yeah, Shout out to that person who found your glasses, by the way. I saw that whole sequence.
Yeah, Ball Boy found my glasses.
But you don't wear them during the race usually, right?
No, I had somebody else hold them, and they dropped them on the field. They were left on the field. They were in foul territory for a whole inning. They just gotten stomped on.
And Cody says not all heroes wear capes. Definitely true there.
Mm-hmm. All right, up next we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We got to talk a little bit more about Travis Kelce and what has not happened 3 weeks into the season. Plus, we're still expected to hear from Andy Reid at noon, only on 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Coming up in 25 minutes, we're going to head out to Arrowhead. You're going to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid exclusively here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan, every Monday after a Chiefs game at noon during Cody and Gold. I'm curious to hear him talk about Wanya a little bit. He wasn't asked about what he thought of Wanya's performance yet last night. So now that maybe he watched film on the flight back or whatever, because Wanya did, you know, the fact that he wasn't mentioned much throughout the broadcast is always a good sign. You're not supposed to mention offensive linemen usually, especially tackles. But he got the full go. The only time Kingsley went in was when they brought in an extra offensive lineman, which makes sense. And other than that, it was Wanya's job. And there's no reason to believe that that's changing anytime soon based off of the performance he put together in that game. I also thought they did help him out a little bit more than they did Kingsley in the first game. For example, Carson Steele had one of the most important blocks of the game in which he helped to extend the play and give Mahomes just enough time. So we'll hear from Andy on that in just a little bit. We've been talking throughout the show today, not only about this team just finding ways to win, but Rashee Rice and what he's doing. Travis Kelce was featured on that broadcast last night. Multiple times they were discussing, like, Chris Collins was like, I just don't get it. He wasn't saying that he thinks he's old and washed. He's like, I don't get it. I don't get why the production is not there. And there was a clear concerted effort to start the second half
yep.
to force feed the ball to Travis Kelce. And they did a couple times, but yet again, we're sitting heading into week four, and he's got 8 catches for 69 yards. I think some of this does go with, hey, Rashee Rice is just eating right now. He's the guy finding spots in the zone. Teams are not double teaming him or anything, and so he's just going to continue to eat. When does that adjustment happen? You're still seeing teams double team Kelce and all that. That might be true, but I don't feel like Mahomes and him are on the same page, the same as we have had. There was the one play in which Patrick Mahomes threw it kind of out of the back of the end zone where he thought Kelce was going to go vertical, and Kelce didn't. These are things that normally just that's the relationship we discuss, how they just both know exactly where they're supposed to go with the ball, or in Travis's case, into open space. That kind of stuff just does not happen. It really is bizarre. I still maintain that he's getting open at times, but we're heading into week four, man, and the best day at the office so far from a receiving perspective has been 4 catches for 30 yards, which was last night.
Yeah, and so I don't think he's going to finish this season with 391 yards.
I hear you. Same.
Which is what he is currently pacing at. So whatever we're seeing out of Travis Kelce right now is not the end story for Travis Kelce. I told you I got maybe like one more week of excuse making where I, again, kind of like Chris Collinsworth, don't get it. I see plenty of highlights where Travis Kelce is breaking free, is open, is available for one of the passes, and for whatever reason right now, those passes aren't going to Travis Kelce and are going to other open wide receivers. And I still think a huge chunk of it is because these teams have not made the switch to, we're not going to let Rashee Rice beat us, we're not going to let, and have stayed on, we're not going to let Travis Kelce beat us. And eventually I think that's going to shift, and this is going to look a lot different. I don't watch him on the field and be like, he looks like he's fried. I will say he looked a little frustrated on the sideline yesterday.
Yeah, disappointed, bummed out. Yeah.
Yeah, bummed, bored, whatever it's going to be. They zoomed in on him pretty hard on that sideline clip going to break where he just looks like,
well, I'm sure he's frustrated. This is a guy that normally is a 1,000-yard receiver every year. And right now, through 3 weeks, I don't want to say a non-factor because I think he is drawing a lot of attention and is making Rashee Rice's job easier. But if you're just box score watching, which is what a lot of people nationally are doing, fantasy football world
that
we live
in, he's not producing.
Fantasy football world that we live in and stuff, and so people are like, he's just not doing anything. It's bizarre. This is the only time in his career he's had a stretch of games like this, production-wise.
I
haven't seen it before, man.
No, that's what's throwing me off about it, is that I've just never seen Travis Kelce look like this. I've just never seen him look in a way where, and I think some of it is because like the entire offense isn't together at the same time yet. It still feels like off in some ways, timing wise. And so I'll maybe give it a little bit of time before they do that. I think again, Kelce has been open times in which the ball didn't get to him. What stinks about this conversation though is, Travis Kelce was talking about his future in the offseason a little bit, both on his New Heights podcast and other interviews and stuff. And what he had made it very clear was he wasn't going to go out not making a difference on the field anymore. Just like his brother Jason had openly admitted and has talked about it more since he retired, that he wasn't going to go out still not being able to play at a Hall of Fame level. If I can't play at a Hall of Fame level, I'm not coming out there to try to be Cole Kmet. Travis Kelce's not going to ride out the rest of his career being Cole Kmet. He is determined to be the level of player that he was if he's going to stay in the NFL. My concern is that if he does look like this for a larger chunk of this season, then where are we? Now, I'll say he played 77% of the snaps. That's actually kind of low for him in a game, even though he was the leading offensive skill position player in snaps. He played more snaps than Rashee Rice. Maybe there is still some of this, if he produces in the playoffs again, I'm not going to sweat
right.
it. If he produces in big games against big opponents, I'm not going to sweat it. And they're 3-0 without Travis Kelce. Could you imagine? I told you he only had 67 yards and they were 3-0. No way.
Yeah,
they haven't needed him. That's why it doesn't feel so pressure packed.
Yeah, there's way less stress on that because ultimately the results are what matter and the team is 3-0. But yes, if you just tell the story, Kelce's production, and if I told you that Pacheco then was going to be hurt, and I told you that Hollywood Brown may not play a snap for this team at all, and he hasn't played a snap at all, and yet they're 3-0 against the Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins stretch of the season. Yeah, you would have said, I don't know how you're getting three wins. And yet here they are, and this is cliche stuff, but that's why they're a great team. They are giving C, maybe C plus type performance, at least this Sunday night, I would say. Offensively for sure, and defense I think was better than that, and yet they found ways to win. You know, I think when you look at Travis Kelce and what we're seeing so far, I'm with you. I don't believe this is the production we're gonna see from all year. How much of this is on Patrick Mahomes too, though? A little bit. You know, we're gonna talk more about him throughout the show today and tomorrow. Mahomes admitting that, hey, he's got to get back to kind of the fundamentals. His footwork's a little bit off. His base is off. Things like that. He was underthrowing some guys, leading guys to the sideline too much. He's been off, admittedly, and hasn't been all that sharp for the first three. How much is that also contributing to the lack of production from Travis Kelce? I think quite a bit, because so much of their rapport or so much of their success together is because of the rapport that they have, knowing where everybody's going to be. And if Mahomes is a little off himself, well, and it's awfully tough, I'm sure, to have the focus and be on the same page that they normally are on. So I think it's a combination of things. I think you're seeing teams play Kelce the same way. You're seeing Mahomes be off. You're also seeing Rashee Rice develop and get open so frequently right now. Yep. All of that is contributing. Plus, one thing we didn't acknowledge, and luckily the O-line play was better, but Patrick Mahomes is getting the ball out quicker than he ever has in his career. Usually you're like, well, that's a great thing. Well,
Not usually when you're getting into Kelce. They freelance more.
Correct. And I think all that is contributing to why the production just simply hasn't been there for Travis.
I mean, it's not like he's not getting open either. Like, there was a play last night where Collinsworth brought it up. Mahomes had already thrown the ball to the flat, where if he waited a second longer, Travis Kelce shook out Jesse Bates and was wide open on a nice little route that he ran. Then you go back, of course, to the play where he's open in the middle and Mahomes doesn't see the defender there and he was a tick late. It's not like he's not getting open and he's just running around getting cardio. I mean, he's able to do what he has done. It's just not enough to have Mahomes get the ball his way or even look his way or whatever the case is.
People liked your Cole Kmet example. I guess he had a big day.
I guess he did, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I was just trying to think of one random 600-yard tight end, and Cole Kmet came to mind.
Fair enough. He had 10 catches for 97 and a touchdown yesterday, I guess.
That's a tough one.
I hear you, though. You think he's kind of average, middle-of-the-road average tight end.
Like, you know what I'm talking about when I essentially called him that. And also, Cole Kmet, even for the day he just had, has never been, now he's only been in the league a couple of years, somewhere in that category for Patrick Mahomes. He's been in a category all by his lonesome. Sure. Maybe sometimes there's one tight end who comes somewhere near him or flirts with him in that area. This is also a weird year for tight ends, where Isaiah Likely and Dallas Goedert have probably been the top fantasy football tight ends, and that's just not normally the names we're used to seeing. I still think they'll sort it. And, you know, I think yesterday was also matchup-wise kind of tough, because they do have, I don't know, maybe the best safeties in the league. By the way, those guys are just on the street, too. Most frustrating safety build of all time. Anybody could have built their safety room the way that the Atlanta Falcons did. Justin Simmons was still available, what, mid-August?
Yeah, he was a late acquisition. Now, Jesse Bates was a high-priced free agent. I mean, he was making $64 million in his contract. Like, so he wasn't just
Cincinnati
off the
misses him.
Yeah,
too,
he wasn't just off the street. He was a big time.
He was a free agent. Though. Anybody could have signed him.
I hear you. You know, I think the Simmons example, I think is way stronger to be like, hey, literally, he was out there for months. Whereas Jesse Bates was one of the first free agents signed a couple years ago for the Falcons. And you can see why I really believe they'll develop in the Falcons. The win against them is going to look better. Not that it's college football. It doesn't really matter, but it will look better for those of you that need that reassurance later on in the season. It's going to be one of those.
I completely agree with that. But that's what, you know, like what it all boils down to with the Chiefs is, so far this year, they've had an injury to their number two wide receiver. They've lost their starting running back. They didn't know what they had at corner. They have already benched their left tackle. They had to go up against the team who was in the AFC title game last year, the team who was in the AFC title game the 2 years before that, an Atlanta Falcons team who was expected to win their division and go to the playoffs because they just had a massive upgrade at quarterback. They have had Travis Kelce being non-factor in their offense, and they are 3-0. Do you hear all the things that went wrong? This is where these teams make excuses of like, well, look, it's all stacked against us. Look at all the things and the injuries and the things that are working against us. The Chiefs don't care about that. I just gave you a list of things that are not going the Chiefs' way so far this year. And what have the results been? The Chiefs are 3-0. They're one of only three teams that are currently undefeated in the AFC. One is Buffalo, who will face tonight. The other one, or who will play tonight. The other one is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who also aren't making excuses. They didn't even want to start Justin Fields. It took Russell Wilson getting hurt. They didn't even want to start the quarterback they're starting, and they're 3-0. Really good franchises, really well-run franchises, Gold, as we talked about to open the show. They find ways to win. We can talk about refereeing if you guys want, but good teams find ways to win when the call goes their way. Not good teams get the call, and it still doesn't matter. Falcons got two calls last night in the final drive. They score on that drive? No, they got stopped on fourth down by Nick Bolton. That's where I just feel different about the, you know, the team versus other
yeah.
People.
I mean, that's what makes them a little bit different too. Yeah. Anyways, because how many other because the Steelers, they still have T.J. Watt. He's still healthy. I mean, they haven't had any bigger issues. They had an offensive lineman get hurt yesterday, but if a team goes through more adversity, you see them slip up more. Where the Chiefs still just find a way to. It looked the way the game looked like last night. I don't know if you guys agree with this. It looked like a game that would have fit in last season. The way that the game went,
maybe
mistakes on offense. They moved the ball well. Couldn't do anything in the red zone. Defense ended up making the play that won the game.
Yeah, look, they've got more experience winning. To your point, winning games like that. You know, we mentioned start the show today. 9-1 score games.
I know it's crazy.
9 straight wins. Basically, not 8-1 score games during the 9-game win streak, I'm sorry, but by a combined 54 points. It's the lowest for a 9-game winning streak in the NFL. So they're used to winning games just like that last night.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And they'll win more of those than any other team in the league. And had you told me, this goes like we talk about the Royals, and we'll get back into them a little bit because obviously they're struggling. We talked about this, like, had you told me before the season started that they got 60 yards out of Travis Kelce in 3 weeks, lost Hollywood Brown, lost Isaiah Pacheco, and were 3-0? I thought when they were healthy, 3-0 was going to be a battle. That was a tough start to the schedule. To have to take on Cincinnati, take on Baltimore, take on Atlanta, and now travel on the road to the Chargers. Now, this might be without Justin Herbert, so that game's math has changed a lot. Everybody knew the Chiefs' first 6 or 7 weeks of the season was going to be a bit of a challenge. Like a huge challenge for them. They've already gotten through 3 undefeated. Now, they won all 3 on essentially the final play. Had to stop Bijan on the final play. Now, look, they still got to go and score, and they, you know, so there's no guarantee there. Isaiah Likely's toe is out. And then obviously the Cincinnati one comes down to this, the final interference.
Yeah, but this stuff doesn't
call,
happen
doesn't.
On no, accident, not, no. though. Like this is, you know, people want to say the Chiefs are just lucky. Do breaks happen during the 9-game winning streak? Of course, you're going to have some breaks, but it's also a sign of a well-coached team. Doesn't mean we don't have our issues with decisions that Andy may or may not make. Certainly there were some of those again last night. But you don't win 8-1 score games during a 9-game winning streak. That also includes playoff games. That also includes going on the road for some of those. That also includes a Super Bowl victory unless you're a well-coached football team, whether it's Andy Reid or Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy, whatever, right? Down to some of the positional coaches. Andy Heck getting Wanya Morris ready to play last night, and he played pretty good. Certainly wasn't mentioned very much, which is it was a good thing. All of that is just what really good organizations do. There's plenty of other teams that played just as good or poorly, however you want to phrase it, as the Chiefs, and they lost.
I think that's what makes people infuriated about it, which is kind of the same reason why me being a Bengals fan, the Steelers, exact same way. They stink on the roster. If you look at paper, they're not supposed to be as good as they have been for the last, ever since Ben Roethlisberger retired, they're not supposed to be as good as they've done. And it's just when you have well-coached football teams, like you're saying, Gold, they find a way to get the little extra edge where they make one extra play that ends up making the entire difference in the end of it.
It's just always when they fumble, it just ends up being a three and out and they get the ball back.
Yeah.
But when the other team fumbles, they go and score a touchdown on your ass. Great teams just do that. They take advantage of your mistakes. That's all it is. Consistently take advantage of your mistakes. And that's exactly how I felt after this game. Like, kudos. Right back in the same spot that they were in before. 3-0, even after nothing's been perfect yet for the Chiefs, and yet still 3-0.
And it's not supposed to be the perfect picture yet either. Like, this is game three. Like, if they're playing this way in week 10 or 11, then maybe if Travis, like you said, if Travis is still struggling in week 10 or 11 to have, then maybe it's more worth the conversation.
But if they're 9-1, but if they're 9-1, it's going to be the same thing as last year. We said it before the season even started. Like, nothing is going to happen this season other than an injury to your quarterback that you can tell me, well, they just can't overcome blank. Yeah. We're already seeing it. They're already overcoming some of the issues, whether it's injury or just bad play, bad decisions, sloppiness, whatever, like all of that. And do I feel better about the defense that I did 3 weeks ago? Yeah, I actually feel better. You know, I thought there was a chance they were going to slide quite a bit to, you know, 10th or something like that. I feel even better about the defense today than I did 3 weeks ago.
They're just better. They're just good in a different way.
Yeah,
they're not the same as last year's defense. They're just good in a different way.
And offensively, we'll just see how this thing continues to play out over the next couple weeks. You know, we mentioned kind of the dream scenario is somehow this team just keeps winning games all regular season, and then the final 2 weeks they somehow get a Hollywood Brown, or maybe in 2 months they get a Pacheco back, and you're like, wow. All right, they were winning games, and now they're getting two huge assets back. Like, that's something that could happen. I don't know if it's a guarantee by any means.
Imagine they're 9-1, and then Pacheco's coming back, or they're 12-3, and then here comes Hollywood Brown too. Yeah.
And there's things they got to clean up. I mean, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, I'm sure. But like, the Chiefs are bottom four in turnover differential again
every year.
You know, that's where. And yet they're 3-0, but they're -2 turnover differential. They're only better than the Raiders because they're -4. The Eagles, -4, and the Titans are -7. Thank you, Will Levis. My goodness.
God, he had another amazing photo this week. Did you see it?
Yes.
He's getting pancaked by the guy, and the ball's just like flying
every week. Every week.
Dude, they got to bench him.
Crazy.
They can't keep playing him. It's nuts. It's Benny Hill now at this point. They can't keep doing it. You could just play like silly music in the background of his plays. You can't. Can't keep leaving the man out for slaughter because at some point
I was waiting for Callahan to say something else, but I don't think he did yesterday. I don't think he delivered on.
I think he realizes now at this point that he can't possibly continue to do that. Like, we'll go back through, like you said, maybe we look at turnovers again later in the week because we know that they finished bottom five last year. And I'm sure that there's some year that I'm misremembering and that they're better than I remember one of those years, right? Where you're like, oh no, they were actually like 11th best or something. But traditionally, Chiefs are kind of careless with the football. Mahomes has been more careless with the football over the last couple of years. So I'm not surprised to find out that they regularly rank somewhere near the bottom of this.
Coming up next, the only place on a Monday you can hear from the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, is right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5. The Fan will get an update maybe on what he thought of Wanya Morris. Plus, sounded like they got out of the game last night pretty injury-free. But we'll hear from Andy Reid next on Cody and Gold.